I want to start lesson 16, talking about these sign gifts, and we're going to look at, first of all, some of the gifts, miracle gifts and gifts of healing, and then we're going to get into the gift of tongues, and that's why I've got the video today. We're going to see, and hopefully it won't shock you too bad, the things I'm going to show you, but we need to know this is going on today. And rightfully divide the word of truth so that we know truth from error. And when we see things like what we're going to see here in just a little bit, we'll know what's fake and what's real. And so let's go ahead and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. We've taken our text. It's on the in your handout there. And this is sign gifts in the future. Now, sign gifts were for the Jew. We've already established that fact from the Bible. The Bible said that the Jews required a sign. And there's going to be a time in future events when the nation of Israel will come together and they're waiting on their Messiah. I talked about it last Sunday during the message of how they're already getting things prepared. They are already prepared for the return of the Messiah. It is so sad that they don't realize that is Jesus Christ already. If they could just see that fact, but they're blinded right now. They are blinded. And when they rejected Christ, I want you to know they become blinded to the Lord Jesus, and he will open their eyes. And it's going to be a rough opening, but they are preparing for that time. And as I mentioned, Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. talking about how that, they had all these pieces. They even had the priest's garments with all the tribes of the stones in it, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. They've got the road of David cleared for the Messiah to walk up. They've got all the priestly garments with the golden threads without seam. They've got the trumpets. All these things preparing. Well, one of the things that's going to happen in that time period is the Jew is going to go back to making daily sacrifices in the temple. They're going to be a third temple, and they're going to rebuild it, and they're going to build it up there on that the dome up there on the temple. But right now, it's got a Muslim mosque on top of it, and so that's all got to be taken care of before all this can take place. But they're ready. They've got the four cornerstones prepared. They've got the altar prepared, and this is going to happen. Well, one of the things also we're going to see. These sign gifts again during that time period. These sign gifts again for the Jew, but it's this time the signs in the future are not to save the nation of Israel, but they're to confuse them and the world. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. The Bible says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan." Now look at this. It says, "with all power and signs and lying wonders." You see, Satan has the ability to imitate or mock these sign gifts. And he's going to be doing these. The Antichrist, we know for sure, is going to be performing miracles. The false prophet, they're going to perform miracles. And to people in that day, they're going to assume that he is the Christ. He is the Savior. And they're going to look at these signs that he's doing, these lying wonders. He's going to do signs and lying wonders. And look at verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." And it's going to be tough on that in that daytime. And I hear people say, well, will anybody be saved during the tribulation period? Well, certainly there are. We see that in the Bible. It talks about all those nations that come and that get saved and during that time period. But it's going to be very, very tough time in that time period to be saved. Look at Revelation 13:11, that next verse. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." The first beast is the Antichrist. That's what it's talking about. He, at some point, is going to appear to be killed and resurrected. That's one of the reflections of Christ. That's why he's the Antichrist. He does things that look like the things Christ does, but they're not. And he is going to have a type of resurrection. We've talked about this before, how it could be. They may be something like a hologram in place here that appears to be him or whatever it's going to be, but he is going to appear to the world that he's died, he's come back to life, and he's been resurrected. And this false prophet here that is like his personal pastor is going to enable all this and preach that he is the Messiah and he's the Savior of the world. And it says they will worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Revelation 13:3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. This is talking about that time when he, whatever happens to him, whether he gets assassinated, somebody tries to kill him, and he gets shot in the head, and maybe with some kind of modern advancements in medicine, they're able to, bring him back or whatever it happens. He's going to come back, appear to be come back from the dead, and people will wonder after the beast. And Zechariah in the Old Testament there, Zechariah 11:15, and the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. And so Zechariah the prophet, he's looking for that time period that has come. And it's a warning to everyone, especially he says the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. And so they're going to leave the people to be out there on their own, fighting for themselves and trying to figure out right from wrong. Revelation 16:13 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, there it is, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so John, of course, sees this, and the false prophet and the Antichrist, these guys are going to be able to perform these miracles, working miracles, and so there's going to be sign gifts in the future that pertain to that time period. And look at point B there, examination of the sign gifts, the gift of miracles. Now, in the New Testament time there, when the New Testament church began and people started hearing about Jesus and the Jew needed a sign, these sign gifts were given to validate the authority of the Savior and his apostles to the nation of Israel. That's why the apostles had all these sign gifts that they had. As Jesus went about doing miracles and wonders, and I'm going to talk about it some this morning in the message about how he condemned those places more where he performed these miracles and signs for the Jew, and they rejected him. He says that their punishment shall be more severe than those of even Sodom, because he was actually there among them and they saw it for their own eyes, but yet rejected him. And so if they're able to do that, their condemnation is going to be even worse than those cities that were destroyed because of their wickedness. The gift of healing, 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. The healing ministry of Jesus. The Bible records 18 different healing miracles performed by Jesus. I didn't list them all. I probably should have. If I redo this lesson plan, I will. I'll put down all these different healing miracles. Now, he performed many other miracles besides just healing that we know. The turning the water into wine, for example. Calming the storms, all these things that he did were miracles. But healing miracles specifically, he did the restoring sight to the blind, the raising the lame man able to walk and jump on his feet. Those that had leprosy, he was able to heal their leprosy. And so we see him doing all these things among the people there, around the nation of Israel. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So we are not even told in the scripture how many miracles that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. All these folks that are listed, it doesn't give us a number. And so there might have been, 100, might have been 1,000, might have been 3,000. We don't know how many people it was. But his fame, everybody heard about it. Here comes this man, Jesus of Nazareth, the man of Galilee. He's coming, he's healing people, and we've seen it with our own eyes. And so they say, well, you know what? I've got a brother that's got some of these things. He's got, he's possessed with devils, or he's a lunatic, or he's got the palsy. And so they start bringing everybody to Jesus, and he healed them. It says, and he healed them. And so he did not hide who he was. He came and did all these miracles, these sign gifts, as a sign to the Jew that he was their Messiah. Now, how in the world that they still rejected him is almost unbelievable, but they did. They rejected him. And I believe one of the main reasons they rejected Christ was because they were not expecting him to come the way he did. They certainly didn't expect him to come out of Nazareth. Yeah. The Old Testament prophets prophesied that he would come out of the city of David. He'd come out of the city of bread, Bethlehem. But when they heard about Jesus, all they could relate to was he's the man of Nazareth. He came out of there. His father, earthly father, was Joseph, the carpenter. And so they could not get beyond him as the man and see him as the Christ because of who he was, where he came from. And they were expecting the Messiah to come in like a roaring captain or a king, you know, on a white horse and defeating. They wanted all Rome defeated mainly. They hated Rome. They wanted Rome defeated. They wanted peace on earth. They wanted the earthly kingdom right then. And so when Jesus came, they couldn't see him as their Messiah, even though he gave them all the signs, all the healing, the miracles, the sign gifts, everything right down to the very tiniest bit of scripture was fulfilled in Jesus when he came here. But yet they were blinded to it. But the healing gifts of Jesus, and then the healing gifts of the apostles there, point B down there under number two. Acts 3:1, the Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Here we have, again, we've got Peter, I believe John's there with him, and they're out performing miracles. And we know that Peter was known for his miracles, and people were bringing folks out and lining them up down the street so that when he walked by, that perhaps his shadow, they would get healed from his shadow. We know that the Apostle Paul had the gifts of healing. And we saw the healing power he had, even in the Bible called them handkerchiefs or napkins, and just things like that, that the Lord allowed the apostles to have during that time period as a sign to the Jew, to Israel, that Jesus was their Messiah. That was the purpose of the sign gifts of the apostles. As I have there in point C, God still heals today. Certainly he does. And God, at any time, any moment, if he so chooses, he can heal anybody of anything, period. And I know that. I know that for a fact. However, he does not heal every single person. Everybody's not healed of their sickness and disease and cancer and diabetes and all these things. They're not. Now, listen, we would not have any disease, any sickness, any cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, none of these things. We would have none of these if sin had never entered into man. When man sinned against God, when Adam sinned against God there in the Garden of Eden, man fell. You hear the fall of man, you know. That's what that's referring to. Man fell when Adam sinned. Now, because of the fall of man, also, we became able to die. You see, Adam would not have ever died. He was designed, Adam and Eve were designed to live forever because they would never have sickness and disease and death. What brings forth death, the Bible asks. What is it? It's sin. Sin brings forth death. And so when death entered man, then sickness, disease, all these problems started happening to us. And so when God does not heal us, it's not because he don't love us. Listen, things happen to us, and we'll go through struggles and trials. It's not because God doesn't love us. He loves us. But listen, if he heals anybody, then, I mean, it's just a marvelous, wonderful thing from God, because none of us deserve it. None of us deserve to be healed. We're all sinners. And so if we are healed, then praise God for it. But if we're not, praise God for it anyway. It's not always his will to heal people. Philippians 2 and 26, for he longed after you all, this is Paul talking to the church, and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I believe that was it Epaphras right there he was talking about? So he's talking about this man. The church knew him, and he's been wanting to be with you. He's longed for you, but he's been sick nigh unto death. And then he said, but God had mercy on him. And look at James 5 and 13. James gives us the what we are to do. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I know that we as a Baptist church, we don't do this a lot. And honestly, we've never done this since I've been pastor here. We have never had a service where we anoint anybody with oil. Nobody's ever come and asked me if we would do that. I certainly would be willing to do that if that's what someone wanted to do. There is no power in that oil. That oil, you just use olive oil. There's no power in that oil. You can actually buy oils. They sell oils specifically for anointing. There's no power in the oil. The power is in the prayers of the people. That's why the Bible says to come to the elders of the church. These people that they're fervent in prayer. Come to them and let them pray for you. And that's what the anointing service is for. And I'm certainly not against those at all. If it's done right, I don't want to see one of these fanatic places where people are doing all kinds of crazy things. It's not the way the Bible directs us or how the Bible says it happens, you know, because you can get cross over the line there somewhere where it turns into craziness. I'm just being blunt with you. You know I am. I'm blunt. When you step beyond what the Bible says, you're stepping off into craziness. That's what you're doing. And so we don't want to do that. All right. Now, I want to show you something. It's 10 minutes long. And this is some, when I talked about stepping over into craziness, you're going to see craziness right here, right now. Now, I'm going to start talking about tongues. And the tongues thing, people get so crazy over these things. And I know I've had people mad at me for preaching against modern day tongue speak, and so be it. And we'll go through and tell you why that we believe that way. But I'm going to show you this video, and I put this together out of different things that I found as I study for these messages. If I can see here. All right.
Yeah, see, that's the Spirit of the Lord. That's the power of God coming on you. That's the anointing of God. It's a radical last day anointing. It's an end day anointing, an end time anointing. Yes, there it is, 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 there it is. Korabashata rabakarabashane. Holy fire! Holy fire! Holy fire! Here it is. Oh, that's real. This is real. This is real. This is real. That's it. That's it. That's it. That is a whole new level of breakthrough in your life tonight. A whole new level of breakthrough in your life tonight.
You don't open your mouth, the Holy Spirit can't talk. All right, now I want everyone to raise your hands and we're going to pray in tongues. Hallelujah, let's do it. Oh, we love you, Jesus. So,
if you can learn it, you can fake it.
Some of the young people we met actually did admit to faking it, at least in the beginning.
All these teenagers around me had this ability that I never really understood or wanted to be a part of. And so because I felt kind of left out and ashamed that I didn't have it, I started faking it. And it was just like make up words and just say whatever came to my head just to because everybody was doing it.
But at a teen prayer meeting like this one, Brian Hepalite says he finally got the gift.
The actual gift of speaking in tongues is something that's real sacred, that's between you and God, that you can't.
And
those who claim to have the ability to speak in tongues believe that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But to a newcomer, it's incomprehensible.
So here we go. Abba. Abba sala. Derese que le masa. Endeseque. Deseque le masata. Emberete. Dese ele meseque. Embeshite que le masa. Emberetusu kirimata. Cala la maseque te quereje. Embeseque le masa. Now, I'm feeling that. I'm not worried about you. I'm feeling that because that's between me and God. Now, if anybody else doesn't feel it, I'm okay. I do this because I want to teach you. So now, you may have tried to stay up and fell behind. We're going to do it again. But this time, if you fall behind and you can't say the words, just make something up. God knows your heart. He knows why you're doing it. He knows why you're doing this. You want to get closer to Him. You want to learn this, right? You have all the gifts already. You might as well walk in it. Holy Spirit's looking at you like, yeah, He has this. He's stepping out in faith. He's believing that He can do this. And that's really what growth is about.
Your tongue to be loose and for you to step out in faith. Start to speak in tongues. Keep speaking. If you've already spoken, keep going. Let it flow. Don't think about it. Your mind will stop you if you start thinking about it.
Good
Okay, well, if you spoke in tongues and praise God, continue to do it. Be blessed in it. Build yourself up, edify your spirit, grow in faith. Open yourself up to the spiritual realm. I want to share this with you, that the enemy in your mind is going to come against this. Your mind's going to come against this. It's going to try to tell you that you spoke gibberish or it's foolishness or it didn't work or don't believe that. That's just your mind. That happens to all of us. It happened to me. If you only spoke a couple words, don't worry about that. Don't be discouraged. It takes time of you speaking to get your language to flow like you heard me flowing. But
another thing I learned is like I take a deep breath, and as I expel, I can hear the words. I can hear the tongues inside of me. It's just like go. As you expel out, the words will just fall out. You'll hear them. Listen to in here. Just listen. Don't be intense. Joy. But here's what we're going to do. So we're going to get in here. Okay, now I want to lead everybody in a prayer. I got to take you in a prayer and just start off, and you're going to do it. So I want you to say this prayer with me. Now take three deep breaths. Now you might feel a little something moving in your stomach. Okay, you get ready on the count of three. Where I believe that. Say, you pray for tongues. I want you to believe that you got it. Okay? Are you ready? On the count of three, I want you to start speaking. Remember, you get a smile on your face, open your eyes, and get joyful. And the words are coming around here. Are you ready? On three. And I'll be the prime. Take my words if you need them. Take them. Okay, but get your mouth going. If you don't move your mouth, you won't get the words. Faith. All right, ready. 1, 2, 3. Akola mo ekiaka sukola mo nakali yakua mo naha uli amo kaka amo kaya uli isi akali ako sude amo ne ako ekili amo ka.
Glory to God. Hey, but I thank God. Under BBS, God, look on right now. In the name of Jesus, healing hands. Touch and deliver. Healing hands. Touch and make whole. Hallelujah. Ha. I know, baby, I shall. Look on every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Hey, baby, I shando. God, we came to praise you. We came to lift you up. We came to magnify your holy name. Hey, baby, I shall. Because truly the name of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous run in and they are saved. Hey, baby, I shanama. God, as this broadcast airs, hey, be I shando, let a spirit of encouragement sweep over your people. This is Evangelist Mary L. McCracken, and you are listening to the Holy Ghost Outreach Broadcast. Hey, be I shanama, and I tell you, I am fired up because I'm wrapped up and tangled up with the Lord. I am fired up because I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm certainly enjoying the trip. Hey, baby, I shut him up. He's real down on the inside.
Ooh! Ooh! God sweep over Meridian, Mississippi with anointing of the Holy Ghost. Man!
It's come to Ha Seku and Ha Sebo and Amushikila Basitu and Alimureke and Otula Majite Kruti Izino Lumurevi Shikila Pose and no Tile Baraki no ho Vote Bashela ha ha. Ijula dikidi moza te borove abaste hijele mukrate shumiate sto.
Just make something up. Just make something up. Just make something up.
Okay, so some things I want to point out about all these things. If you notice throughout it, the Bible tells us that the tongues were given at that time to glorify God. They're to glorify God, to edify the church. And also, if you're to speak in tongues in the church, you're to have an interpreter. The Bible never, ever, ever mentioned any woman speaking in tongues in the Bible, period. You're going to find in this modern-day so-called tongue movement, tongue speaking, most of them are women. You just saw evangelist Mary L. McCracken up there, you know. She's done proclaimed to be a minister for the Lord, and she's doing all these things. And one of the problems with all this, you have people today that are desperate for something in their life that's missing. They're desperate for some feeling, some over-the-top something. Everybody's looking for something over-the-top. And they want that in their lives. And so they're looking everywhere for that to fill that void they have in their life. They think they have that void in their life. But they're looking for it. I don't doubt for one second that every one of these people up here were dead serious about what they were doing. I believe they're serious about it. I believe they believe it. I believe that they think that what they're doing is right. But everything that I see from everything I've ever seen about this modern day tongue speaking, it's not biblical. It's not. It's not scriptural. Every way that it's done is not being biblical. And the scary part, like I'm saying, is these people that are searching for things, they're going to YouTube to learn how to speak in tongues. Most of these videos I showed you up here, I should have had the titles in them, but most of them were like how to speak in tongues. One of them was the easy tongue speaking or something like that. There's one woman, which I didn't have any of hers up there, but she has several parts, and she goes through all these lessons on how to speak in tongues. And so they tell you how to start. You saw the one guy I had at the very end kept saying, just make something up. And that's what they're doing. They are making something up. The one gentleman that had on the FBI hat up there that was so exuberant, he has thousands and thousands and thousands of subscribers to his YouTube channel. And if you go and read the comments, people are completely blinded to this. And they're saying, praise God, hallelujah, I've been trying for years to learn how to speak in tongues. And since I watched your videos, now I know how to do it. I can now speak in tongues. Let me tell you something. I've been speaking in tongues since I was about 2 years old. And not the kind of tongues they're talking about. I can sit here and I can make up jibber jabber all day long. That guy with the FBI hat on, it sounds just like those little Indian chants I used to make up when I was putting my kids to bed. I mean, I could get up here all day long and pretend that I'm speaking in some foreign tongue, but I am not. I'm just making something up. And so all these desperate people to want to have these miracles of tongues, they're going to YouTube, they're seeing all these people, they're getting into, and these churches like this, they are completely packed. I mean, some of these services I've seen, there's no place to sit. People are standing, and I mean, there's standing room only in those places. And they're rolling around. You saw the one video throughout the beginning when the guy's going around, and he keeps saying, this is real, this is real. Why does he keep saying that? Because he knows that people question, why in the world are you doing this? It's not real. So he gets trying to make all these people believe that what you're doing is real. And so what they do is they get themselves worked up. They get themselves worked up in some kind of, I don't know what it is. It's an emotion, but it's their blood starts pumping. They get all excited. And most of them, they use a lot of music too during their thing. A lot of the loud sounds and musics. And they get people's adrenaline flowing, and they get in some kind of different state. And it's almost like a fit. And so they start doing things. I didn't have the one up there either, of one lady. She was in a church, and they were speaking in tongues. And then she all of a sudden got down in the floor on both knees, and she started barking like a dog. She started rolling and rolling around all over the place and knocking into people and all this. And the one pastor, he kept standing over, you know, trying to keep her from rolling around. He put his foot over so she quit rolling. And at one point, he reached down and he was saying something about, he was casting a demon out of her. And he's like, in the name of Jesus. And he reached down and grabbed her head and pulled her wig off her head. And friends, I'm telling you, this stuff is going on today. This does not glorify God. I saw nothing in there that glorified God. Nothing. It's not glorifying God. It is not edifying the church. If anything, it is weakening the church. It's crumbling the church. And it's making the church look like a laughingstock because it's not biblical. So, in the Bible, if you look at your lesson plan there, every time the Bible mentions anyone speaking in tongues, it always means an earthly language, a known earthly language. And we're going to talk about those angels speaking here in a minute, so don't get excited. But there in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, Paul, and listen, we don't compare ourselves to the church of Corinthians, the Corinth church. They were an immature church. They were riddled with problems. We look at what Paul told them, and certainly we want to do what Paul says, but we are not models after the Corinthian church, all right? So don't ever think that they're the church we need to compare ourselves to. If you want to compare yourselves to a church in the Bible, go look at the church of Philadelphia in the Revelation and say, are we looking like that church? That's the way we need to look. And so we're not Corinthians. But Genesis 10 and 5, all the way back in the Old Testament, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Now, certainly tongues and nations kind of go hand in hand, because if you're from this nation, you speak in this tongue. And so when it talks about a tongue, it's talking about their native language. Genesis 10 and 20, these are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues in their countries and in their nations. Notice it keeps telling us it's in their countries and their nations. Their tongues are from those countries. We here in this country have English tongues, most of us. Some have other, Spanish and so on. But the native tongue of the United States of America is English. So our native tongue is English. And so if somebody says, are you speaking in tongues? Yeah, I'm speaking in the English tongue. I'm from the United States of America. Deuteronomy 28:49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. He's talking about a foreign nation coming in, and they won't understand their language. Just like when the Babylonians came in and took Jerusalem. The Hebrews didn't know the language of the Chaldeans. That's why Daniel had to be taught how to speak in Chaldee tongue. And so that's their tongue. In the book of Acts specifically, and this is where everybody goes to in the book of Acts. And by the way, the book of Acts is beginnings. I don't think that everything in the book of Acts applies to the church today. Those early things of the early church, those were to build the church upon. And those were for that time period and not for our time period. And so one of the things is the tongues. Here in Acts 21-40, and when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand of the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. And so Paul was speaking in the language of Hebrew. Acts 22:2, and when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith. And so Paul right there, when it mentions tongues, is speaking in a earthly known language. Revelations, we've looked at those plenty of times. Look on down there at Acts 2 and 4. Now this is where it begins with most of these people like we just saw. This is the beginning of the New Testament church. The church began with Jesus and his apostles, and it was empowered at Pentecost. Now, when Peter stood up and preached and the Holy Ghost fell down upon these people, there were many, many things that happened on that day. And many people come to Christ, and there were many miracles and wonders that happened. And those miracles and wonders were for the Jew to come to the belief in Jesus Christ and for the church to begin on. Look at it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that, here it is, every man heard them speak in his own language. Yeah, got a Chevy One and Nova. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man, what, in our own tongue, wherein we were born? They wasn't speaking jibber jabber. They were speaking in a known earthly language. And then the Bible gives us those nations, these languages come from. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? So, what we have here on that day of Pentecost, when all these people, Peter was preaching, the power came down, and the Lord needed for these people to understand the gospel in their own native tongue. Now, listen, this is only the only words I know that's not English, really. That's German. I don't have a clue what I just said. It's a song I learned in chorus in school. All right? But if you were here and you needed to learn the words of that song I just said, you'd need to hear them in your language if you knew what it said. I don't have a clue. Now, if I had my chorus book, it had the words down there, and I mean, it was something about, I will chop wood for you or something. It was a love lullaby in German. But for these people to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, they had to hear in their own tongue to be able to hear it. If we went to someone that could not speak English and we said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, they're going to go, yeah. What? Yeah. Or however they say what in their language, I don't know. Eh? Canadians, I can speak Canadian, eh? I went up there for a week or so and worked one time, and all those people up there are crazy. We're out of time. Okay. Well, so what I want you to take away from this, and we'll finish this up next week. We only got through half of it. A little over half, I guess. We'll talk about those tongues of angels. And those are real languages, too. These are not some... People talk about this heavenly language. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about here. An angel speaks. When you see an angel speak, they're speaking in a language that man understands. What if the angel came to Mary and was telling her that, you know, behold, you know, I bring you good tidings of great joy and all this, and, you know, you're going to have a baby and he's the Savior of the world. What if the angel come to her and was going on with all kinds of crazy talk that only an angel could understand? The angel come and spoke to her in her own native tongue. And so the tongues of angels and speaking of angels is a known language. All right, so we'll talk about that next week more. Right quickly, does anybody got any questions, comments, or anything you want to add? Yeah, I don't either. If you want a copy of that video, I'll certainly let you have one. I did hours and hours of research on tongues, and I wanted you all to see. I guess that was, we say the best of the best, but that was the worst of the worst, I guess. Yeah.
And we went to one church, and they had a stack of sheets or something, towels or something.
Yeah.
And as those women were passing out, they were covering up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then as I got older, I understood that a lot of it might have been made up, even though I wasn't sure. I should pray to talk against somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But now, when they get there, try to teach you to speak in tongues.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a whole different.
Yeah.
Because I think if you did, and I hope I never do because it scared me to death, but I think it would come straight from God. You know? I really do.
Well, according to everything I study in the Bible, he is not going to give you any kind of ununderstandable tongue now. Now, if you were living back in the first century of the New Testament church, maybe. But those tongues that we saw, the apostles were speaking them in the church. And the church of Corinth, by the way, that immature church, that was the gift that they wanted to focus on. And Paul kept saying, you know, focus on the better gifts. You know, ask for the better gifts. Don't, you know, quit worrying about the tongues, because that was what they were concerned about. They wanted these gifts that they could see that were, you know, they get attention from. And so they wanted the glory of their own flesh. And most of what we saw right there was glory in the flesh. And so if you're not glorifying God, if you're not edifying the church, then it has no place in the church. Yeah.
Something about that
looks almost kind of
like
the religion.
Some of them look like they were really something.
Certainly, certainly.
And it looks like something that's different.
It is. It's demonic.
Like,
yeah. You are exactly right. I didn't even bring that up. But demonic spirits are real. And these people that dabble into this stuff, they'll get these demonic spirits in them, and it'll make them do things. They sure are. That's right. And you can allow that stuff into your mind by the things you watch, the things you listen to, the places you go. When you're around this kind of stuff like that, that's devilish and demonic, hey, you're opening yourself up for demonic spirits in your life. Yeah.
And then you'll have these preachers that will have a deception for other congregations. So, well, this is a God that can be exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. That's right.